Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Well, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. No, I'm just kidding. We're doing good. So today we're here for a service of consecration, which is probably not a term you've heard before here. I've never used it because we haven't had a specific service of consecration, but we are having one today. As you know, our theme since the beginning of the year has been "Take Me to Your River," and now we actually have a river that flows from the presence of God. So we'll talk about this image throughout the service. But the point is, we're on this vitality journey. You've heard a lot about that, congregational vitality. You heard a lot about being a healthy missional church, what it means to be to exhibit the 10 healthy missional markers and to walk in this way together. So today we're really focusing on setting ourselves apart for that. So there's elements of the service that are a little different than normal. You'll notice a funny shaped piece of paper in your bulletin. You'll hear more about that later. Right now, just let it intrigue you and inspire you and drive you nuts, whatever your personality is. You'll find out eventually what it's for. but that's what we're going to be doing today, and we'll explain as we go through the service perhaps why we're doing different things throughout the service. There's a few extra announcements in the bulletin today. First of all, there's an opportunity to help our sisters and brothers in Flint. I got an email from Jody Idness from our Great Lakes Conference office just yesterday, which I just saw right after our epic event. And there are a bunch of people from Covenant churches and other Wesleyan churches and community development type people are gathering on Saturday from 10 to 3 at the Joy Tabernacle in Flint. And the address is there, the times are there, and it says all what you can do. The point is going to be to distribute water and fresh fruits and vegetables to people around Flint. And you can bring water and fresh fruits and vegetables with you, or you can just come empty-handed and help deliver what's already there. So if a group of people want to get together and do that, we can ride share and do all that stuff, but please consider that, because it's, you know, such an important thing, and they're our neighbors. It's, what, an hour up the road, and we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, so this is a great opportunity, and we will try to offer more of these opportunities in the coming weeks. If this Saturday doesn't work for you, we'll try to offer a couple more options in the coming weeks. As we begin our worship time together this morning, we're going to start with something a little different than normal. This is mostly a special music piece, but I do want you to join us on the chorus, which is just this very brief line: "Take me to your river, I want to go. Take me to your river, I want to know." So anytime, well, not every time, but follow Grace and Lori's lead on that. But you can stay seated for this one, and then we'll have you stand at the end. But this has been the theme of Lent, and we're just now hearing the song that inspired it. Been traveling these wide roads for so long. My heart's been far from you, 10,000 miles gone. Oh, I want to come near and give you every part of me, but there's blood on my hands and my lips are unclean. In my darkness, I remember Mama's words reoccur to me. Surrender to the good Lord, and He'll wipe your slate clean. Take me to your river, I want to go. Oh, take me to your river, I want to know. Dip me in your smooth waters, I go in. As a man with many crimes, come up for air. As my sins flow down the Jordan, oh, I want to come near and give you
every part of me, but there's blood on my hands, and my lips are unclean. Take me to your river, I wanna go. Go, take me to your river, I wanna know.
For our call to worship.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it.
Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before.
But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it.
Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you."
Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people."
So they took it up and went ahead of them.
And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel,
so they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses."
Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant,
"When you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river."
Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God.
This is how you will know that the living God is among you."
God instructed his people as they consecrated themselves before him to go and stand in the river. Let's sing together, "Where Justice Rolls Down."
Where justice rolls down like a mighty water, and righteousness grows like the redeemed. There is a river that streams from the temple, begins as a trickle, but ends in a sea as it grows. Healing it will give where it flows. Everything will live God is here. Leave the past behind. In these clear waters you will find, where justice rolls down like a mighty water, and righteousness grows like an ever-flowing stream, and mercy resounds like the waves on the ocean. Let praises rise high on the songs of the redeemed.
Last week I sent out an email and a Facebook message asking for confessions and laments from you, and I received some, not nearly as many responses as I received from the last poll, which is understandable because this one was a little bit harder to grapple with. But you all put together a wonderful prayer for us this morning. So this comes from the people. There's a few parts that are just standard confession from our book of worship. But for the most part, these are your words that we are confessing together and lamenting. So we're going to begin with lament, which is basically we're crying out to God for the things that aren't the way they should be, things that we know are not right, whether they're in our midst here in the church or in our community. These are things that we're not necessarily saying are all our fault, but they're things that are wrong. And we want to lament, we want to grieve together those things. So we'll begin with a period of lament, and then we will follow that up with a time of confession, which is where we will be confessing our own sins. And these are the sins that you all brought to me through your emails and conversations that we want to repent for. And naming the things that we've done wrong doesn't make us worse, it actually makes us better. If we pretend that we don't do anything wrong, that's worse. That's stuffing it. That's living in la-la land. And we're here at the service of consecration to name what's going on so that we can move forward in healthy and missional ways. So I thank you for coming up with this prayer for us. It's beautiful. There will be sung responses throughout, so you can remain seated throughout. But I'm going to teach you, for those of you who are here at Ash Wednesday, you learned this already, but I'm going to teach you just these very simple melodies. So anything you see in italics and centered will be sung. Everything else on the screen will be spoken aloud. So. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. Sing that with me. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. One more time. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. Next part. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. One more time. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. All right, we'll begin with our laments. We lament for the present and future leaders of our cities, states, and nation. How long, O Lord, must we live under unjust and immoral leadership? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
all together. We lament for our neighbors in Flint, whose children drank poisoned water while we were oblivious. Hear our cries on their behalf and spur us on to action. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Together. We lament that we are aging. Though the passing of time is a great gift, with aging comes grief and loss and pain. Lord, send us the energy and vigor of youth. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Together, we lament that our financial resources are limited. Our budget contains very few ministry items, though we long to do much more. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. We lament our own distractions from prayer and study of your word. How long, O Lord, will we lean on our own limited understanding? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We lament our own inability to build up the church. Why, O Lord, do our friends and loved ones not embrace that they are welcomed and loved in our midst? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We lament that we don't always have a clear sense of the Holy Spirit's direction for us. Why, O Lord, do you seem silent when we seek your face? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. As we conclude our laments, let's speak these words together. Lord, we thank you that you hear our laments and our cries. We know that you want to hear what's on our hearts and minds, and so we lay them before you in openness and transparency. God, be near to us in our grief, and in due time, turn our mourning into dancing. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. Now we move to our confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We confess our selfishness, judgmentalism, and tongues that turn easily to gossip, for every way we condemn in our hearts and wound with our words. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We confess that we have been too focused on ourselves and our survival, forgetting the great needs of compassion, mercy, and justice in our church and wider community. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We confess that we have not sought the Holy Spirit in all that we do, instead relying on our own knowledge and power to create change. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We confess the ways we have failed to love, welcome, and make accommodations for those different from us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We confess that we have not always made an effort to reach out to those who have left our congregation, not seeking to restore or understand. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We confess that we have not all practiced sacrificial and generous living and giving, placing our own priorities ahead of the mission and vision of the church. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. You hear us calling, you hear us calling, Abba Father. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Now hear these words of assurance from God. Through the cross of Christ, God has had mercy on you, pardons you, and sets you free. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. May Almighty God strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Amen. Confession is a difficult thing, but it's also a very cleansing thing. So if you're like me right now, you may feel exhausted from laying all that out there. So as we process this and as we move ahead, because this isn't all about confession and lament, this service is about consecration and celebration. But we can't truly celebrate until we've been honest about who we are and where we've been. So thank you for being part of that with us. So as we continue to process, you can hear this song as we welcome the Holy Spirit to continue to minister among us today.
Yeah.
Well, let's stand together. As it turns out, messing with the order of service throws me off more than anybody else. Let's sing together. Couldn't not sing this song at a service of consecration, so let's sing. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my wealth, all I possess, make me rich in faithfulness. Take my mind that I may use every power as Thou shalt choose, every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my motives and my will, all Thy purpose to fulfill. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, Lord, I will pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be Thine for all eternity, Thine for all eternity. Amen. Please be seated.
For our prayer time this morning, we're going to do things a little bit different as well. I will offer a prayer at the end, but before that, I'd like you to kind of, if you're in a group of people, maybe it's your family, and that's totally okay, but in your row or the people closest to you, yeah, go ahead. We're going to take 5 minutes just to pray in small groups with the people closest to you, people sitting closest to you. If the Holy Spirit really leads you to stand up and move, that's fine. But we don't want this to take forever. So probably congregate with the people closest to you and pray for a more vital, healthy, missional Bretton Woods. Whatever that looks like for you and your group, just pray for that and take 5 minutes, and then I'll conclude us with prayer all together after that. So let's do that now. Find the people closest to you and pray. And if you have to move, you may have to. Almighty God, as we continue and finish up our small group prayers, we acknowledge that we could pray for hours, laying before you the contents of our hearts for this community, for this church, for this neighborhood, for this city. We thank you for the opportunity and the hope that there is here among us. We thank you for the generosity of this people, for the work that you're doing among us and have done among us, sometimes against all odds. And we are forever grateful to our great God who holds it all together and sustains all things. So, Lord God, may the wind and the fire of your Holy Spirit move through your church. Give us dreams and visions of what you have for us. And give us the might, the power, the Holy Spirit's strength to make those visions reality. May we continue to be attentive. May we continue to walk through life and ministry with our hands open, not with clenched fists, clinging to what I want, but with a firm commitment to what you want and what you have for us. Today we also want to lift up the needs of our community. We want to pray for Mike Lopez's father, Furman, who had a heart episode this weekend and is in need of healing. We also pray for Abby and Chloe recovering from flu-like symptoms. We pray for others in our midst who really need your prayers. We pray for our dear brother, Stan Muttersbaugh, as he goes through very trying days, and we lift up Anne to you as well as she cares and as she suffers alongside him. We lift up so many to you, though not all are named here. We know that there is grief, that there is pain, that there is hurt, and there is loss. We lift these up to you and ask for your intervention, for your healing, and for your peace and comfort to be upon your people. And Lord, we come before you also with great joy and thankfulness for the good gifts that you've given us, for brothers and sisters that care and love us, for a church that is supportive and loving, for the gifts of enough food, shelter, enough clothes, for the gift of enough, for the gift of air to breathe and life to live. Lord God, we are thankful. And we are overjoyed. And we know that we have so much to give to your kingdom. And we know that your kingdom is taking root in us ever more deeply as time goes by. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. In your power, enliven and animate our prayers. And in your love, bind us together for your mission and your vision. It is in the strong and blessed name of Jesus that all God's people say. Amen.
If you have, If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, and even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, and the kids through fourth grade can go with Miss Lori to Children's Church. And we'll see you in a little bit for communion. And in case you're wondering at this point, no, my sermon will not be as long as normal. Okay? Just get that out there in case you're too concerned. Well, let's pray as we take a look at this passage together. Mighty God, we thank you for the great gift of your word. And as we open it together to see what it has to say for us on this day, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So again, this is a service of consecration, so I thought we'd talk a little bit about consecration and what it is. That seemed like a okay place to start. Before I get to the Old Testament, I just want to get to the dictionary definition of consecration, which basically just means association with the sacred. That's what literally consecration means. It means to be with the sacred. Con, with, secretion, sacred, right? So you can kind of see it there in the word. Association with the sacred, nearness to the sacred. Setting apart for sacred purposes is often how we think about it. And in the Old Testament, I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty details, but in the Old Testament, we see the word consecration used in reference to circumcision of firstborn males. So when a child is born, a family has begun, and they have their firstborn son, they consecrate that child unto the Lord, associate him with the sacred, with God, by circumcising him. Priests are consecrated for the ministry to serve God. They're set apart. Special items, right, the furniture and all the accoutrements of the tabernacle are consecrated, or the temple are consecrated and set apart before God, blessed. And the temple itself is set apart. Speaking of which, special places can be consecrated. A city, a whole town can be consecrated. A building can be consecrated. Certain places can be set apart, associated with God. And special time can be consecrated. The Lord calls the people of Israel to consecrate after every 50 years, to consecrate a year of jubilee, to set apart a year to associate with the sacred, to pay back all debts, to celebrate, to have a Sabbath year every 50 years. So special time is marked with consecration. But the phrase that is used most often in reference to the word consecration is this phrase, consecrate yourselves. when the patriarchs, when the prophets speak on behalf of God to the people, often they use this phrase, consecrate yourselves. We did it in our call to worship this morning from Joshua. Joshua tells the people, consecrate yourselves as they are about to cross into the promised land. Consecrate yourself, set yourself apart. Now, when we move to the New Testament, consecration still means to be associated with the sacred, but it takes on a little bit more specificity. What it means to be associated with the sacred is now tied very closely to the person of, guess who? Sunday school answer. Yes, absolutely, Jesus Christ is the answer. So association with the sacred becomes attachment to Jesus. So the word consecration, the only time it is used in the New Testament is actually when it's quoting the Old Testament, when it's referring to the consecration passages in the Old Testament. So the word consecration isn't used as often in the New Testament or at all. But this idea of being associated with the sacred, of being attached in some way to Jesus, is absolutely all over the New Testament. That's what the New Testament is all about. It is calling a people to be attached to Jesus. What's the first words he says to several of his disciples? Two words. Amen. Follow me. And if they answer, well, then that's how you know they're a disciple. A follower is somebody who responds to that call to follow me. So what we're doing today is consecrating ourselves to Jesus. That makes sense? We're setting ourselves apart for God. We are wanting to, we want to be attached to Jesus in a meaningful way as we move forward. We believe that if we try to bring vitality to this church and we're not attached to Jesus, it's going to be a dud. Right? It's going to be over before it starts. It's all about being attached and near to Jesus. And Philippians 2, I think, though it doesn't use the word consecration, is a passage of consecration. Because what is Philippians 2 all about? If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ sounds a lot like attached to Jesus, attached to Christ, united with him. United with Christ. If any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, common sharing in the Spirit is what? Attachment to the Holy Spirit. It is consecration. Having the same attitude of mind that Christ Jesus had down in verse 5, having the same attitude as Christ Jesus is another way that we consecrate ourselves, is another way that we are attached. We have the same attitude, the very same thing. God calls us to be one, to be united, to have the same spirit. These are words that are setting us apart in attachment to, in proximity to, in deep relationship to Jesus Christ. That's what we're about here today. So what does it mean to be consecrated to Jesus? And that's where we get into the nitty-gritty. Because being consecrated to Jesus may not be a super glamorous thing. Being set apart as a follower of Jesus may not be a very glamorous thing. So, this passage talks about us having one spirit and mind. Verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." We are supposed to be one in spirit and mind. So as we set ourselves apart before Christ, we're to be one in spirit and mind, all together, united. Not in every way, not that we all agree on everything, right? Not that we all agree on who's the best or worst candidate for public office in the running currently, right? We don't have to agree on that stuff. We're to be one in spirit and mind on a spiritual level without selfish ambition, valuing others above ourselves, and valuing each other's interests. This is what it's like to consecrate ourselves before God, to put others ahead of ourselves, to not have selfish ambition or vain conceit, to put others' interests ahead of ours. So the question we could ask as we read Philippians 2, how we can be like Jesus, how we can consecrate ourselves to Jesus, we can ask the question from the bracelet. Anybody ever have one of those bracelets back in the day? That's right. WWJD. What would Jesus do? The poem, and this is just a beautiful poem, starting in verse 6. What would Jesus do? He would not leverage his God equality for his advantage. The fact that Jesus is equal to God, the fact that Jesus is part of the Godhead, in fact, according to verse 6, he would not leverage to his own advantage. He's not gonna consider it something that he needs to go after. Wow. I don't know, sometimes the first question I ask is, what good thing do I have that I can leverage into a good thing for me, right? Jesus had the best thing and chose not to leverage it into power. Amazing. Not leveraging into God equality, making himself nothing. Was Jesus something? Was Jesus something? Yes or no? Okay, Jesus was something. Was he something else? Man, some conversations, he was something else. To the Pharisees, they would probably thought, yeah, he's something. To the disciples, yeah, he's something. The tone of voice would change depending on who you are in your relationship to Jesus. But yes, Jesus is something, but he made himself nothing. Nothing. All this language, he takes on the nature of a servant, verse 7, made in human likeness, found an appearance of it as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What would Jesus do? Humble himself, make himself nothing, and become obedient to death on a cross. That's what Jesus would do. This is the way down. But to consecrate ourselves before Jesus, to set ourselves apart, to attach ourselves to him, we have to go down. There's no other way but down. But the final destination is not down. The way down is the way up. The way down is the way up. Because Jesus walks in obedience in all these ways, because he empties himself, because he doesn't leverage his authority, because he does all those things, what happens? What's the first word of verse 9? Somebody shout it out. Verse 9. First word. Therefore. What's the therefore, therefore? As my former pastor, Raul Boyce, used to say that all the time. What's the therefore, therefore? This is why. Therefore. What happened before is why what's coming happens. All this happened. Jesus emptied himself. He didn't leverage his authority. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. He was obedient to death. Because of all that, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Because he went down, he went up. The way down was the way up. I want to be clear that the reason Jesus was exalted and every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord is not because he performed miracles, healed the sick, and raised the dead. Those were amazing things, but those things exalted him only insofar as they relate to him being obedient and humble to the mission that God had given him. He was completely humble and obedient, and because of all that, yes, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he did all these wonderful, miraculous things. But it was all rooted at the gut level, at the core identity level, in obedience. It was rooted in God. You say, well, Jesus, it's easy for you to say. It's easy for you to stay rooted in God. You're part of the triune Godhead, right? Yes, okay. But as we consecrate ourselves as followers of who? Jesus. Thank you. Glad nobody shouted out something different there. As followers of Jesus, as we consecrate ourselves, we attach ourselves to the same obedience that Jesus lived out. So, for us, the way up is down. Right? The only way up is down. So you may feel like we've been down. You may feel like you've been down and out. Consider it a gift. Consider being down a gift. Consider being empty, being nothing, being humbled, being obedient, a gift, because it's the only way up. Now, am I saying that we should humble ourselves and do all these things because there's some sort of great reward lying at the end for us? I mean, if that's the only reason we're doing it, we're going to run out of steam pretty quick. If we're only doing it for the prize at the very end, there's a lot of life ahead of us. And so you run out of steam just running on the fumes of that. But right here and now, because we love God, because we're connected to him, because we're attached to Jesus, because we want to live obediently to him, ooh, we'll be an unstoppable force right here in this neighborhood. The neighbors will wonder what the heck happened to this place. Why there's a big hole in the roof. God reached his hand down and put a little blessing, sprinkled some blessing on him, and now we got to fix the ceiling, but we don't care. We embrace the chaos because God is here. We can handle anything with him on our side. The first thing is first. So, consecrate yourselves. You have a rock in your bulletin. You may have been wondering what the oblong-shaped brown paper was. Maybe you figured out that it was a rock. We had some hints based on the river imagery. But this is just for you on your own. I want you to ask this question of yourself. What gift do I bring to Bretton Woods as we walk the pathway toward healthy missional ministry? What gift do I bring? And remember, what is a gift? Is it the fact that I can raise the dead or heal the sick and can perform miracles? What was Jesus' greatest gift? Obedience, right? It was the stuff that isn't flashy, even though he did have a lot of flashy gifts as well. Okay, what gift do I bring to Bretton Woods as we walk the pathway toward healthy missional ministry? And on the paper, I want you to write down, what's one thing I will do toward the vitality of Bretton Woods? What's one thing I will do? Maybe it's a gift that I have to offer, to bring. But what's one thing that I can do, that I will do, to help make Bretton Woods a more vital place? And if you're not sure exactly what it is, write it in a vague way, but try to come up with something specific, something you can act on. Because as long as it stays vague, it's hard to act on it. What's one thing I will do towards the vitality of Bretton Woods? I'm just going to give you a minute or two to think about that. You can still have a minute. We're going to take our offering here in a moment. And I want you to consider this exercise with the rocks part of your offering today, right? Because yes, we will take money, and of course we need that to sustain our ministries. But what you write on your rock is just as much a valid offering as any of that. But what we're going to do, just I'm telling you now so that, because I might forget to tell you later. It's happened before, believe it or not. Is that you're going to place your rock in the river as you come for communion. So just, you know, down here on the floor on these first couple steps, you don't have to walk all the way up to the table. But as you come forward for communion a little bit later, just place your rock in the river. Rock's not going to wash down the river. It's heavy. I know yours is paper, but, you know. And the waters of God will continue to flow over that rock, and it'll be a mighty thing for us together. But that's what we will do as we come to communion. So, at this point, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for offering. Let's stand together. Almighty God, we thank you for these gifts of your people. We offer them now to you in faith and in trust that you will use them to your glory and for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen. To invite somebody to... Dan, you going to get the kids? Thank you, Dan. You may be seated. You guys already were seated, sorry. As we come to the table, we invite everybody back. Thank you for being here, children. One of the words that we use to describe the Lord's table is communion, and it is to be shared in community with the whole community. So we believe that if we're missing some people, it's probably not right to call it communion because we're not all here. So together we gather to share the table and the good gifts God has given us. But we acknowledge that not everybody, come on in, kids. We acknowledge that not everybody will be prepared to receive the bread and the cup, but you're still invited to come forward. We offer grapes to children and any others who maybe are not sure where they stand in their faith, but it's a sign of promise of what's to come. And we know that you kiddos develop a hunger for the things of God when you come in here and you see us eating the bread and drinking the cup together. Well, let's pray as we prepare ourselves to receive the elements. Gracious God, we thank you for today, for your gifts, for the gift of your table. We come from east and west and north and south. We come as your people. We come to celebrate your good news. We come to be incorporated into the body of Christ. We come because we have been invited. Lord, thank you for your gifts and your mercy. It's in the strong name of Jesus that all God's people say. Amen.
Well, let us stand together and affirm our faith together by sharing the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. Third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You can be seated. Paul shares with us the words that were passed down to him, that he then passed down, and that have been passed down for hundreds of years, and now come to us. And what he was told and what he shared and what has been passed down is that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and after supper, gave thanks again and said, "This is cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. And then Paul added that every time we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Let's pray. Mighty God, you've called us to your table. You've called us not to empty ritual, but to faithful obedience. And you've invited us into your very presence. So as we come to receive these elements now, we look to encounter you, our mighty God. As we walk in these waters of consecration, we set ourselves apart and we attach ourselves to you and your mission. Lord, be near to us as we celebrate these good gifts. In the strong name of the risen Lord Jesus, all God's people say, amen. And will our servers please come forward? When you come forward, please walk on the water. Don't worry about tearing it. It's not meant to be a permanent feature of the sanctuary. Please walk on it. But we'll take a piece of bread and a cup, or if you're not partaking of those elements, you take two grapes with you. Take them back to your seat. And then we will share the elements together at the end once everybody's received what they need. But these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Please come receive his good gifts. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ, the cup of the new covenant in him. Let's pray and offer thanks for these marvelous gifts of God. Almighty God, thank you for nourishing our faith by your very presence, for filling us with your Holy Spirit, for calling us as one body to a deeper humility and a deeper obedience to you and your will. As we consecrate ourselves and attach ourselves to Jesus Christ, as we cross the river into the new adventures of the vitality pathway, pursuing Christ and Christ's priorities in the world, Lord, strengthen us, be our guide. Be our help. Be our Savior. It's with infinite gratitude that we give thanks to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand together. We'll sing one more song of response. Let's sing together, Our God. Our God is greater. If I didn't say that he was a one-year-old, it would be pretty concerning to know that during the final song of our service, somebody was spinning in circles and falling over several times at the end of our worship service, but thankfully he can handle it. Well, let's conclude with these words of benediction. What we've been about here is not separate from life. We carry Christ's Spirit into our homes, our daily activities, and all of our relationships.
We are Christ's people. By God's grace, let it be so.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve our God.